So you can follow along with the words in the service sheet. This is John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Susie's going to come and speak to us now.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord and my God. So in our gospel reading this morning, we're in John 17, and Jesus is kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is crying out to God. And in the chapter of John 17, Jesus prays for three things. He prays that God would be glorified. So that word glory in the Greek is doxa, which means confession. We get the word doxology, words of glory, words of confession. In the Hebrew, glory is kabod. And that it expresses the weightiness of God's presence, the weightiness of his glory. So Jesus prays that God would be glorified in his life and death. Jesus then prays for the security of his disciples, for their safety. And then thirdly, Jesus prays for unity. He prays for the diversity of the church, that they may be unified. So Jesus His prayer is for all the believers of the church, both those that are alive and following him at the point when he's in the garden, but it is also about us that is to come. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, not just those that are following him at the time. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So Jesus prays that the church may be united as the Godhead, the Trinity, is united. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is praying for unity in the church. He is praying and he is juggling with this real challenge that actually we are different. But we're also dealing with the now and the not yet of the kingdom. When Jesus is praying, he is praying for something that's not quite yet happened. The church is beautiful. And when I say church, I mean the worldwide unified church across history, across languages. The church is an amazing thing. We have people who worship in different ways. We have people that pray in different ways. We have people that understand the scriptures in different ways. We have people that read the scriptures in different languages, in different nations. And the way we interpret it all is different. But the beauty of the church is that despite our diversity and our difference, Jesus is praying that we may be united and stand together under him as our King, as the Godhead. He is praying that the body of Christ may be different, but we all have a purpose and a calling to follow Christ. We're not all called to be Andrews. We're not all called to be Allisons or Helens or Phillips or Tamsins. We are called to be followers of Jesus. How that looks in our lives. Jesus prays for the church to be united. But we have not seen an answer to that prayer yet. We see glimpses of unity in the church where people of different ways of understanding work together, but we are in the not yet. And the key is that word yet. We are sat in this place of waiting for what is to come. In the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is a prophet, and his prayer is this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Yet. Yet is about the faithful waiting for what is to come. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will worship Jesus. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Despite everything, yet I will worship. Jesus may say to us, not yet, wait. In the midst of everything, we are to continue to push into God whatever is happening. We are to continue to worship him in spirit and truth. We are to put him as the head of our lives and not focus on what is happening right in front of us, but continually to push in. That's what that song's about. Blessed be your name. Though I'm in the desert, though the road is dusty, though things are hard, I will continue to bless the Lord. This week, I have been running a prayer space for 600 young people who are 11 to 14. And they explore prayer in lots of different ways, in creative ways. And I always say to them, I believe in a God who answers prayer. And I think God always answers our prayer. But his answers can look different. It's a bit like a traffic light system. We get a green. We get a yes. Go for it. I'm going to do the thing you've been praying for. And that's the answer we often look for. We kind of pray for stuff and go, God, we want you to do this. But sometimes God says no. Sometimes we get a no. We get a stop. We get a red light. He might even question whether the thing we are praying for is good for us. Really good for us. And sometimes this is the hardest answer of prayer to swallow. But also sometimes it can give us release and freedom because we're praying for something but God says no. Because Jesus ultimately is wanting the best for all of us, the best for everyone. But I also think sometimes the next answer to prayer we misinterpret as no. And sometimes I think Jesus answers our prayers by saying, Amber, he says, wait, get ready. And yet, sometimes God's answer to prayer isn't imminent. Sometimes we have to sit in that place of, and yet. We have to wait patiently, hoping and trusting that in the fullness of time, God will answer our prayers. Sometimes we pray for something for years and years and years, and we might not see the answer to our prayer, but it does happen. About 16 years ago, I was praying for one of the most amazing men of God I know. He'd been my Sunday school teacher. He'd been part of my family. He was like my big brother. He called my parents, Mum and Dad. My dad would take him off to university when he went off to theological college. And similarly, when he went to Vicar Factory, Dad would take him. But whilst he was at Vicar Factory, he was diagnosed with bowel cancer. We prayed. People around the world prayed. Woody, his family name, or Father Joe, as he was known in ministry, had been a missionary in India for a time, and God had called him into the Church of England. He used to send me job adverts at a point where I really didn't want to work for the Church of England. And he was an amazing man of God. I have this image in my head of him dancing in our living room. I don't think God wanted him to have cancer. And I was questioning, he's an amazing man of God. He has responded to the call of God on your life. God, why won't you heal him? We were told he would have 9 months. And by the grace of God, he had 18. And in that time, so many people were impacted by his life. People were praying for him. He continued to do parish ministry, going to drink tea and eat cake. That was the marker of his ministry. Woody was ordained deacon and then priest whilst being treated. And sitting in that place of what feels like unanswered prayer is so painful. We have stories when it feels like God hasn't answered our prayers. Yet, with Woody, his funeral was a testimony to the fact that God had been glorified in his life. The funeral and later the memorial service in his parish was packed with people that had been impacted by his life and his ministry. He did receive healing, but it was in a heavenly body, not an earthly one. I don't believe God wanted Woody to get cancer, but he used it for his kingdom. And I did. I sobbed my heart out when he died. I grieve and I continue to grieve. I continue to miss him and hate the fact I can't pick up the phone to tell him what's going on. But it's because of Woody's challenge, the sending of the number of jobs to work for the Church of England, and the initial inkling in the background that if Woody could end up being a priest, then maybe I could too, that I went to St. Melitus College and I studied theology. And it was there that I met Andrew. It was because of the way that Woody followed Jesus that I was inspired to explore ministry within the Church of England. But I had to sit in the and yet. For Habakkuk, there was no fig trees, no burden, there was no grapes, no vines, no olive trees, and yet he chose to worship God. The beauty of the kingdom of God is not about us focusing on the present, the now. It's not about focusing on the straight away, which is what our culture is. It's about the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. Lifting our eyes from the dusty road in front of us, from the mud and the mess, and fixing our eyes on God. On the promise that God is going to turn our mourning into dancing. He's going to turn our tears into joy. In his kingdom, there is no pain, there is no more suffering. Yet we have to learn to praise God whilst we're in the hallway. Whilst we're in the not yet, whilst we're in the not completely there yet. Jesus prayed for unity of his disciples. He knew they were quite good at arguing. He knew, he'd already experienced them arguing about who was going to get to sit next to him in heaven. He knew his followers would fall out. And yet we have the beauty of the diversity of the church. We have the beauty of what happens that when we unite despite our difference. It's what makes the church so beautiful. We have a God we can talk to, who answers prayer in the yes, in the no, and in the not yet. My prayer for each of us is that we all learn to praise God in the moments of not yet. In the moments when it is really hard to worship, that we would sit in his presence and just be with him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you pray for us. You prayed that we would be united despite our difference. Lord Jesus, as we sit in that painful place of not yet, of waiting for answered prayers, Lord Jesus, may we continue to praise you and worship you because you are our King, you are our Messiah and Saviour.